I have compassion on the multitude. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. In today's gospel, the Master shows his compassion. 3 days, the knapsack is empty. They have nothing to eat. He fed them that day to show that he could and he would feed them with a more miraculous food all days, even unto the consummation of the world. He would feed them unto eternity, the Holy Eucharist, the sacrifice of the Mass, whose perfect participation is the sacrament of Holy Communion, the very bread of life itself, whom you may receive today if you are fasting and in the state of sanctifying grace. A priest even patiently awaits you in the confessional to administer the sacrament of penance. And you have only to wait 3 hours from your breakfast to receive the very bread of life. But today, so many, more than a multitude, are hungry. There will be nothing for them to eat. Many are within the sound of my voice. They will not be able to receive Holy Communion today. They have no sacrifice of the Mass, no oblatio munda, no pure offering, or only one tainted by the poison of heresy or of schism, or rendered sacrilegious by the mere mention of the name of that Antichrist who shows himself to be an atheist as well as a communist as he sets up his very throne in Rome. Or perhaps simply there is nothing but the invalid Novus Ordo service and Novus Ordo priests, even if dressed up in Latin. And so they stay at home and will perhaps spiritually unite themselves to us here by means of one of the webcast masses, and surely they will all of them, Catholics, pray their rosary today and make an act of spiritual communion. They are home, but they are not home alone. For they, children of Holy Mother Church, have a mother, Mary, and she has a mantle which, Elias-like, she throws over them to protect them, to give them, as Eliseus prayed to receive, a double share of her Spirit, the Holy Ghost, and with him every good thing. In this struggle for fidelity to the true God, to the true sacrifice, and against paganism. As for Elias and Eliseus of old, this mantle, and how the saints even yearned for it. Ephraim of Syria prayed that Our Lady would cover him with a mantle, but the church had to wait for centuries. St. Bernard of Clairvaux said, "If we are under thy protection, O Mary, we are saved." But not quite yet did that protection come in a way that could be worn by her children. This mantle does that for us. We call it the scapular, from the Latin for shoulder, because it hangs, this little square of cloth, from our shoulders in the front and in the back. It is, remember, a very abbreviated form of the ancient original religious habit which is an apron-like affair worn by some of the older orders called a scapular. Remember the story. The followers of Elias and then Eliseus, hermits on Mount Carmel, when they heard of the coming of the Messiah, went to Pentecost, were baptized, and went back home and built the first chapel in honor of the Blessed Virgin Mary and prayed to her. And when centuries later the Muslims arrived, they were driven out of their home and they came to Europe, and they did not find a warm welcome. They were still wearing the old habit Elias had used. It was striped, a kind of a poncho, I think it was striped. And in the medieval mindset, stripes were considered symbols of evil, of bad life, or of a revolutionary spirit. And there were those in the church who were for the suppression of the new Carmelite order in the West. Their head, the prior general, was St. Simon Stock, an Englishman, old man. He had started out his days, remember, as a hermit living in a tree trunk. He prayed to Our Lady, "Mary, my Lady, give us the privilegium." That means your protection. In the medieval system, you put yourself under a lord and you serve the lord, and the lord in turn protected you, and they're asking Our Lady to be their lady. She appeared to him on this night in 1251, and she gave him the brown scapular for the Carmelites. The Benedictines have the black, the Cistercians, and after them, the Dominicans, the white, the Carmelites, and we, the brown. And with it, the great promise, whoso dies clothed in this garment shall not suffer eternal fires. It is into this garment that we are, and the Carmelite order, that we are enrolled, made honorary members when we receive the scapular from the hands of a priest. Our Sacred Heart saint, Blessed Claude La Colombière, he says, it's not enough to say the scapular is a sign of predestination to glory. It's more than a sign of our true devotion. Remember, Pius XII taught that it's the sign of our consecration to Mary's Immaculate Heart, very much in line with the Fatima message. No, Blessed Claude says, it's not enough just to say those things. Because of the alliance, now the word alliance is the French for testament or covenant, as in New Testament, Old Testament. Because of the alliance, think of that word in political reality, the alliance United States has with the NATO nations, say. Because of the alliance which Mary contracts with us and we with her, no other devotion renders our salvation so secure, so certain. And what about the multitude? What about the massless masses today? When devout Augustinian writer says, this devotion of all of them approaches the nearest the great institution of Christ, the seven sacraments. It is more than a mere sacramental. You remember what a sacramental is, mere catechism, that outward sign, could be incense or holy water or prayer, a medal, a statue, instituted by the church, which has its power by the prayers of the church and by your own devotion. But the scapular is instituted by Mary and derives its influence from her prayer. And when it comes to praying, who is Mary but omnipotentia supplex, the Latin phrase meaning she is infallible. Whenever she intercedes, her prayer is heard. And think of it, you are her children. So the scapular is unique. It is not a sacrament, instituted by Christ to give grace, nor is it a mere sacramental instituted by the church. It is instituted by Mary, the mediatrix of all graces. Another Jesuit concludes, there's a certain kind of a connection between the presence of grace in a soul and the presence of the scapular on the shoulders, and the absence of grace and the absence of a scapular. Now, what about you? You, especially of the German Catholic heritage, never forget Gnadenkleid, the grace garment. That's what the Germans call the scapular. So many writers call it Mary's sacrament. Simple as that. So important that St. Pius X, 100 years ago, during World War I, allowed soldiers to enroll themselves with the cloth or even with the medal, scapular medal, saying any prayer to Our Lady at all as they did so. And the Holy Fathers of the last century through World War II, from time to time, what's called convalidate any kind of an invalid enrollment because of any impediment. That gives you an eye into the mind of the church on its importance for souls. But please do not think that just because you may wear your scapular, you are on easy street. Oh no, the scapular is meant not to perform a miracle at your deathbed after you have turned aside from grace so often. It is rather to keep you strong so that you may indeed die as you have lived in the state of sanctifying grace, to keep you on that straight and narrow road. Everything in today's epistle, that's why I made a point to read it this morning, everything in today's epistle is summed up in our scapular, a constant reminder of the obligations that we have taken upon ourselves in baptism. With the scapular, you are doubly clothed. At baptism, what happened? The priest put the white garment over you and said, "Accipe vestem candidam." Receive this white, this bright and shining garment. Keep it unspotted before the white throne of God. When you receive the scapular, you were given the brown robe of Mary herself with the obligation to clothe yourself in Mary's virtues, so that you may indeed resemble Christ the whole of your life. If he is our garment, says St. Bernard, he should be visible in our person. And if Mary is our garment, she should be seen as well. The words of the apostle, to live also together with Christ, reckon yourself as dead to sin and alive to God. What a help is the scapular. Wear it. Touch it when you're tempted. Kiss it each morning. It is an outward sign of an inward grace. It is your grace garment. In battle, it will be for you the secret of your strength. Remember Samson in the Old Testament? As long as he did not cut his hair, he was strong against the Philistines. But as soon as he did, he grew weak. Keep that scapular on for your strength. When the prophets wanted to get across the Jordan River, they rolled up the mantle, and with it they struck the waters, and the waters divided, and Elias and Eliseus walked dry-shod across the river. That is a symbol of us passing through the dangerous waters of this life, dry-shod into eternity. And for those who today must fast from the very bread of life, as well as for you, privileged, spoiled children, who may feed and feast at the communion rail this morning, In the Holy Scapular, one writer concludes, the Supreme Queen of Carmel gives us a sign of victory over our enemies and leads us to the Blessed Eucharist. At your Holy Communion today, a sacramental or a spiritual one, and there's everything then here, touch your scapular. Don Marmion used to do that. Touch your scapular and very simply say, Mother, behold thy child. Reconsecrate yourself at communion to our Blessed Mother. She knows you need nourishment. She knows you're dirty and you need cleaning up. She extends over you the privilege of her protection, the promise of predestination. She's your queen. More, she is your mother. Wear your scapular. Whatever it may be, she will work it out. She who, like her son, and by his merits, has compassion on the multitude. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.